Welcome to Dharma Glow. We're a community of conscious beings who are devoted to co-creating new earth. We value joy, peace, equity, and love. Our mission is to ignite the essence of our community by sharing tools for liberation and inspiration. Join us on the path to purpose, peace, and universal harmony. It's time to come together to awaken our inner radiance. Let's glow, fam. Enjoy this podcast where we showcase some of the brightest minds and hearts in the creative space and the healing space. It's all here to inspire you. And if you're inspired by what you hear today, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that'll really help spread the energy of this movement. Thank you. Enjoy the vibrations. So before we get started, I just wanted to let y'all know that we have monthly community events that bring in great artists from all over the world that are raising consciousness and spreading the vibrations of love. This upcoming month in November, we have the most ambitious Dharma Glow experience yet. It is a 3-day epic wellness and music festival featuring some of the most profound healers and visionary artists the conscious scene has. We have Koya Webb coming through with the sound bath and the breath work, and Ali Michelle doing poetry. We also have Lizzie Jeff coming through with that divine feminine energy. We got Tony Jones with the affirmation game. Lava and Free Soul are coming back. You know how powerful they are as performers and artists. And we still got that plant-based vegan food. We got the pool party. It's epic. So check out the lineup at dharmaglow.com. We hope you will join us all 3 days to take in this love, this community activation, because we needed it this time more than ever. So once again, that's dharmaglow.com. We will be seeing you very soon. Let's get into the episode. All right, what's good, family? I'm here with the Pleiades himself. I've actually only connected with his brother one time in person, and that was enough for me to know that I wanted to connect more deeply. So thank you for being
here. Mahalo, thank you for bringing me on. Thank you for providing a platform, for doing the work that you do, sharing the light that you do. This is beautiful to reflect such pure energy, pure intention, and just happy to be here, man. Happy to share some energy, reflect some perspectives, hopefully give some inspiration, some information.
Ashe, I appreciate the reflection of pure energy, because that's definitely what I feel from you. We met at the Community Healing House at the Londrell Show earlier this year, and what I noticed that was so unique about your energy signature was you were so clear in who you were and showing up in a very specific way. And I think you might have said something about the Pleiades then, and you were just like blessing people with the frequency. Like when you were leaving, you were like, I just want to say a quick prayer as I leave. And then you said a prayer and you were like so present. And I think sometimes we can be hesitant to share our truest selves for fear of judgment or whatever, but you didn't have any of that in your frequency, which made it that much more pleasurable to receive, because you are coming from an uncompromised place.
Wow, what an in-depth reflection. Thank you for that. Seriously, this. Yeah, the way I feel is my philosophy with living these days is that what I'm feeling while I'm acting is what's going to be received upon the reception, like to those who are receiving it. So long as I open my mouth and don't have anything but pure intention behind it, I know that it's going to benefit somebody in some way, shape, or form. And at this point in my life, I've come to a point of complete detachment, as if I could say something to somebody because spirit guides me towards saying those words, and then they could have no understanding in the conscious moment of what I'm saying. It could go right over their head. It could be like, what are you even talking about? Why are you even saying this? This is totally abstract, irrelevant, out of context. Why are you saying this? I know that I said it for a reason. I'm just a channel. And even if they didn't get it in that moment, it's going to integrate in them. Their higher self is receiving all of it. So when I talk to people, I talk to their higher selves, or at least I set the intention to as often as possible, to just communicate with people's highest embodiment. And then I'll talk to them as such. For example, you're talking to a child. Like, I would never go up to a child at this point in my life and be like, oh, goo, 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 boo, 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 dumb down my words. I would talk to them like I would anyone else, like an equal. I'm not going to break down the theory of quantum physics to them and stuff like that, but I'm going to treat them like equals. Talk to them as the highest embodiment that they are. They are gods, goddesses, source itself, children. They're straight from that source. They're less adulterated. And yeah, that's how I try to live. So I appreciate you seeing that.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing to embody. And I think it's an invitation for everybody to respond from that place. And if you say good morning, I think it's easy to say good morning back. If you say this day sucks, I think it's easy for a person to go into a complaining kind of vibe. So it's, we're always co-creating our experience together. But when somebody takes the initiative to set a certain energetic and vibrational tone, then they're like setting it up for success.
Yeah, yo, absolute truth. It's just setting the tone. It's creating the frequency that we want to ripple out. Our whole life is like a very still pond, and what we put into that still pond is going to ripple out into, it could take one small drop and then it'll create ripples that are the size of freaking football fields. Like it just moves in a still ocean. So it's just being mindful of what we actually want to see ripple out. And that's like the big focus of being a human is, what are your thoughts? What are your emotions? And what are your actions enveloping the vibration of? Those are the three main things in that order. First, your thoughts, then your thoughts influence your feelings and your state of being. And then the way that you feel influences how you're going to act. And those three things right there, if you get all your thoughts, emotions, and actions in alignment with your soul, you're creating your dream life. You're not even trying. Like you're just going to be in alignment with divine law. And then you're going to create a fruitful life for yourself. If you just really are mindful and take internal inventory of those three essential aspects of being alive on planet Earth in this time and day and age, like your thoughts, your emotions, your actions are everything to your reality. So just being mindful of it.
I 100% agree. And I feel like I'm living that way now. And because of that, my life is flowing very effortlessly. They say what you seek is seeking you. And I believe that there is the conscious part of us that's working towards a certain type of expression. And then there's the higher self or divine mind that also has its guidance, that it's like leading us towards this path. And when you create enough space and just focus on what you can control, those two things are able to communicate and create this beautiful synergy. And I feel like we're both vibrating at that frequency. So it's good to share in that understanding. But what I'm interested in is how people got to where they're at, because I know I have a story. Everyone's got a story. What I invite people to do on this show is tell their life story from birth to now. And maybe for you, it might even be past lifetime, because I feel like you're on that wave. But tell your story from beginning to now in 3 minutes and 33 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Sounds fun. Because I was going to say, I'm going to give it, but I've been on a couple podcasts now where I've shared a little bit of it. And I actually have the table of contents and the starting stage is done of a book I'm going to be writing about this interesting incarnation I've had so far leading me to this. So I'll give a little spark notes for the 3 minutes thing. I'll keep it to this incarnation. Wait for another podcast for the bottom plan. But I was born in New Jersey, Plainfield, New Jersey. And grew up with pretty much my mom and my dad separated when I was about like 5 or something along those lines. And didn't really grow up with my father. Led to me having some anger, you know, as it happens with a lot of people. Me as a child thinking I was the reason for their separation and things of this silly nature. and a lot of emotions stored up that I didn't exactly know how to express and stuff like that. But for the most part, I led a pretty normal life. I definitely like lower income. Like we lived in poverty for sure. Like we got evicted many times, moved around. A couple different schools, just lower income. It really humbled us. Single mother. I had a sister. So single mother taking care of two kids. You get the story with that. So lived that aspect of this human field of just not having the most abundant financial support behind anything. So that got me towards being more independent and just knowing that if I wanted anything in life, I literally had to go get it and make a way to make it happen. Because even if my mother wanted to give it to me, she couldn't. She was just surviving type of thing. But yeah, then when I was 12, what brought me into Pleiades consciousness, I suppose you could say my alarm clock in this incarnation was I got expelled from my school district, which watch some of the other podcasts or read my book to hear that whole story. But like I got expelled from my school district when I was 12, got sent to a place where they tried homeschooling me. And then the homeschool teacher just wouldn't have me because I was not obedient. And then I got sent to an alternative school for juvenile delinquents in Middlesex County, pretty much. And I was there for about 7 months until the school year ended. And that place was where I went mute. And that's also where I started writing music. I was just so traumatized, so like defenselessly, hopelessly scared every day going to school that I was just like, if you want to call it school, felt like a prison. There was bars on the windows and everything and like security guards everywhere. And like everyone is doing drugs and beating each other up and cussing at the teachers. And it was craziness, like craziness in that place. And I was just to myself, didn't talk to a single soul, no soul, not the teachers, not the students, nothing, just headphones, head down, sleeping all day, every day type of thing, writing, drawing. And I started writing raps. It was all angry stuff, super angry. I was just like, everyone and everything sucks. You know, I was putting all those emotions out. And then I ended up like going to enough court cases to get put back into my school district about a year later. And I get back into the school system and everyone treats me. I just got back from prison. They're all afraid of me. And then I fit that template. And I was just, the definition of this chapter in my life was anger. And then I eventually left school when I was 16. I signed out and just was like, this is just not the place for me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but it ain't here. And I started going crazy, learning the universe. I was doing drugs at the time, like all types of drugs, and like also learning science to an extreme, like stimulant drugs, like Adderall, cocaine type of craziness. And then learning Einstein's theory of special and general relativity, is unified field theory, quantum mechanics, Newtonian physics, string theory, like teaching myself calculus and trigonometry and like literally all of math and science, because I felt I didn't believe in spirit and I was just trying to understand reality. And then I eventually started learning about mindfulness, learned about meditation, started to silence the mind. And then I started to be aware that world exists. And then doing that for about a year led me to having a spiritual experience to where I was like, okay, it's not just matter. There's actually energy and spirit and consciousness that's beyond what we can measure through science. So put science down, dove headfirst into spirituality, philosophy, Eastern philosophy, all that type of stuff. And then just was learning it, working jobs. And then while I was at this factory job making circuit boards in 2017, I hopped on my phone every day and was just like, I was just learning all the time, like books and podcasts and everything. I was just learning and meditating. And I was just making videos, like 1 minute, 2 minute videos on my phone and posting it on Instagram of, yo, do you know our genetics says this? Do you know that we could bring our genetics back? Just crazy things I was learning. I would just hop on there, throw it on there. And then I kept doing that like literally every day because I kept learning every day. And every time I was learning something crazy, I wanted to share it. I was like, even if two people watch this, two people just learned something and I wish someone would have told me, I had to find out myself. And then my Instagram page and my YouTube and stuff started to like build a lot more of a following pretty quickly because I was just consistently keeping it going. I was saying things I guess a lot of people weren't really too open about. And like also my adrenochrome, all that stuff. And yeah, then with a combination of doing the music, so that was my main passion, was music. I got invited to California where I met the people at Community Healing, Matt and Layla. They found my music, invited me in 2019 to perform in LA at their conscious concert. And I went back there 6 months later. That's where I met people like Lundrell, people like Illuminati Congo, people like Spectrum, Renegade, Third Eye Indigo, all these beautiful artists. And then It just, the web kept weaving there. I was so inspired off of the event that I saw in California that I performed, that when I went back to New Jersey, I started my own organization called Sacred Organized Union to Realize Collective Evolution, or SORCE. And then I started doing a bunch of different gatherings, big scale, large scale, but the holy grail of it was just called SORCE gatherings. Then I started doing retreats called Crystallize. And basically, long story short, doing events in Vermont and New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and then California and like stuff like that. Now I moved to Hawaii about two months ago now. And starting to have the next branch of this, the real final fledge of this being something called Pono Fest. And this is a monthly gathering that we're going to be organizing to bring as many people specifically on the Big Island of Hawaii together to build new eco-villages, to build new communities, to organize new assemblies of politics, to organize new currencies. And there's people all around this island who have been on the sovereignty path for a long time, doing their own communities, doing their own initiatives, creating their own collectives. And the point of Pono Fest is to bring them all in the same space. And then how can we move forward and organize all of our resources together and actually create this new society and actually create new levels of government, where if we create a certain assembly, we only need a couple head members. And then once we get 1,000 petitions, we can literally be completely free from all of the different institutionalized laws. And because there's a lot more to go into that about sovereignty that I'm personally still learning to even be able to say in a way that's accurate. But yeah, that's essentially the vision up until now. And then we're going to be doing Pono Fest every month here on Big Eye. And then we're also going to be doing weekly resource shares. Because what if literally all of the stores, all of the entertainment things, all of the different things of society was just completely cut off? And they said, if you don't have a vaccine, you cannot buy fruit here. You cannot get toilet paper here. You cannot buy anything unless you have this passport thing. What if this were to happen? What would humanity literally do? What if all of humanity's technology were to be wiped out? And literally the only way that we are able to use our phones is if it's put on this station of propaganda relating to health and regulations that the government is putting us in. Do you know how to build your own cell phone? It's governed by all of the people that do. And what if that were to be turned off one day? How do we know how to get our food? How do we know how to self-sufficiently live? How do we know how to communicate and socialize still? Like, these are the types of things we're trying to provide solutions for before the problems arise. Creating self-sustaining systems to where we don't have to worry about any government bubkis. They could put out whatever agenda they want. We're self-sufficient as a community and will thrive irregardless of all of the regulations, mandates, licenses, permits, and everything that they say that we need that we don't. And so that's Pono Fest that me and my brother Andre over here in the Big Eye are organizing. And obviously it's open to anyone in the world, but we're focusing on really creating like genuine self-sustaining communities where people are living all the time, thriving, understanding the principles on how to scale it on the Big Island. And then eventually, who knows, down the line, taking this and going on a tour many places around the world where we go and do a Pono Fest. It's like a 4-day or however many day experience. And then at the end of it, we're building structures together. Parts of the workshops that we're doing as a part of the festival is we're all learning together. We're growing, we're building and expanding together. So what if we, like, 400 people got together and all put together a garden? It would take like a matter of 2 hours for everyone to build an entire eco garden structure. And then when the festival's over, that land is now self-sufficient. And there can be people living on there, creating permaculture and having a thriving ecosystem and society. And then tying that all around private membership associations, sovereignty, and complete alleviation from legal bubkis, and your own crypto for the entire eco village, to where they have their own decentralized currency system, to where you don't need the government for anything. That's pretty much it. That's the vision. And we're in the beginning stages right now, but managing the structures, and we're taking our time building it, building the foundation, because the whole vision is once this is done once, it could be done infinitely. The pattern, the template is there. The foundation is there. Anyone could do this, because we recognize this isn't me and Andre's vision. We didn't just think of this ourselves. This is Source's vision. This is the vision of all of humanity. And we are playing our roles, and everyone plays a role. Now it's just everyone who plays a role and knows that they play a role. Let's all get together for 4 days and see what can happen, and do this every month, and then have other reoccurring gatherings every month and build from there. So that's pretty much what my life is now. My life is these festivals, is these organizations of New Earth, and I'm able to eat off the land, breathe, and drink water. And so I'm good. That's literally all I care about. The rest of me is a service of God. I feel like I should have died a long time ago. And like, I tried to overdose. I tried to jump off buildings. I was in a suicidal part of my life 7 years ago. I was crazy, and something kept me alive. And I feel like this is it. That's my mission, bro. I know that definitely went over 3 minutes, but it's I tried.
Maybe a few seconds over 3 minutes and 33 seconds, but thank you so much for sharing your story and your vision and your passion. And it's needed. It's needed to have visionaries of people that are bringing in new realities and new ways to connect. Because so often people use the ways that are created to connect unconsciously and even complain about them, right? Like, we all know we're on Facebook and Instagram too much. We all feel drained by the experience. We all have lots of negative things to say about it, but then people still use it. So if you want something new, then we have to create something new. And Facebook and Instagram are just examples of larger systems that govern our energy in certain ways. So the collapse of everything and the way everything is shut down is actually a huge blessing, because we get to take a step back and say, we get to pause here. Like, when we start again, how do we actually want to continue? What things do we want to take forward that aren't present, or maybe that are? What things do we want to leave? How do we want to relate? Buckminster Fuller says, you never create the new reality by fighting against what's current. You just create something new and invite people into it. So you creating Pono Fest, and it's actually pretty much identical to what I'm doing with Dharma Glow. We're just creating more opportunities for people to step into a different timeline, which is a beautiful thing. So I would love to have you check out Dharma Glow, and I'd also would love to check out Pono Fest. Oh, yeah. Have you done, when is the first one going to be?
It is going to be on 11/11 till 11/14. So it's right around the corner. We've been building it already for quite a while. And right now, if you want to, by the time, I'm not sure when you're going to release this podcast, if it's going to be right away, if you're going to, or you're scheduling it or whatever, but by the time this podcast comes out, you should be able to go to sourcesanctum.com. And that's the platform to where you just hit gatherings, and Pono Fest is right there. And on the homepage, we'll have some leading you straight to Pono Fest, but sourcesanctum.com. You can go to find the information on signing up for tickets. And even if you want to be a part of volunteering, we do already have the itinerary made already, because it's right around the corner. So for this one, obviously performances and workshops and vendors and all that are vendors. We might still have some spaces, but the rest we've already filled it up, but we're planning to do this every month. And the first one that's coming up is 11/11 till the 14th, like I said, in Pahoa in Big Island, Hawaii, on the east side. And the next one is going to be on 12/12. And then we're going to be moving it forward the last weekend of each month from 2022 moving forward, so that you just know that, like, the last weekend of each month, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Pono Fest. So that way, if the technology did get shut down one day, and if we couldn't market on the internet and stuff like that, people don't need to think about when the date is, where the location is. Like, it's in the same place, same time, same part of the month. Like, it's just a known thing that's like a community resource that they can utilize. And
so yeah, 11/11. That's a great idea. I love that. And what's the investment for?
We're offering like a early bird special right now. So I'm not, like I said, not sure when this is going to come out, but it's probably going to be around like $33 admission right now a day. And then you'll get the fourth day is completely free if you get the first 3 days and stuff like that. we just want to bring a bunch of people to day four because it's going to be all permaculture all day, different workshops, different activities, and learning how to work with the land. And yeah, that's the early bird special, but it might double in the next week or so for us. And we're doing that. We're working with this system of giving more than we take. And we're only going to be having like 1/3 of the profits actually going towards us. And even what we're doing with all of our profits is putting this into the next Pono Fest and getting all the equipment and getting more things to upgrade it. So we're not even going to, we're putting it straight into the festival. And then the other 2/3 of it, we're still working out exactly how we're going to divvy up the funds, but we're looking to funnel all of that back into the community. So there's profits to be made from it, but a lot of those profits are cycling into the community because Pono Fest is basically the creation of a new economy. Down the line, we see it being decentralized, cryptocurrencies being utilized to where we don't use the fiat dollar or anything like that. And it's just a generation of currency for everyone, like vendors and things like that. But yeah, all the information by the time this podcast comes out, when you go on sourcesanctum.com, we'll have all the payment information, all the details will be solidified by then. We're still finishing in the last couple of days of getting it all crystallized. But
yeah, I hear your fire. And I'm a pretty fiery dude too. So I accept the challenge to get the podcast out. See if you can get Source Sanctum up by the time I get this podcast out.
Yo, I love that fire and we will definitely meet you. That's my brother in the background right now, moving around, like literally working on the website as we speak. It's like,
right on.
We are round the clock. Like seriously, we've not been sleeping too much recently. We've just been on it, going to different lands, communicating with people.
Yeah, glad to hear you say that because one thing that I like to remember and approach life with is that there's actually nothing wrong with anything, right? So if there's nothing wrong, then the choices we make allow us to experience that which we are. And by the choice you make, you are saying, this is who I am, right? So if somebody comes at you with non-love, you can respond with non-love or you could respond with love. And if you respond with love, it feels really good because you're like, I'm in tune with my true nature. And if you don't, then that's a learning opportunity. So the reason why I brought that up this time is because you just mentioned not sleeping. So sleep is an essential part of being a human being and the human experience, as is self-care. And I am 100% on board with everything that you said. And you don't have to martyr yourself to do it. So that fire is a beautiful thing. I'm an Aries. I get it. I'm an Aries, Libra rising, Libra moon, fire and air. It's highly combustible. And we can just stand outside with our feet in the ground sometimes and just allow ourselves to be, right? Because you already are that. You're not going to be made more by creating the Pono Fest. You're doing it because of your own sense of joy and purpose, and it's what lights you up. So when I come to Pono Fest, I hope that we're able to build and create the new earth and also freestyle and explore and adventure without any agenda or without needing to save anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yo, beautiful message, brother. Thank you for that transmission. 100%. Mm-hmm. A big focus of the, I guess you could say, structure and organization of the itinerary is like a balance of structure and flow, a balance of masculine and feminine. And my last retreat I did in New York, Crystallize, that was like the holy grail of the recipe seen in the most effective blueprint of like plenty of time for integration, plenty of time for flow. And you're able to just like free form go around the entire festival. And there's just a lot of different things. There's not just one main area. There is the main stage where we're going to have music and workshops going pretty much the whole time at certain intervals, with exclusion of all the other activities we're doing together. But there's, for example, there's like a zone where we're going to have a whole like area just for DJs to be constantly like pumping out music in like a one space for people who want to dance at any time. We're going to intend to have open mic section where you can just literally have a small PA system in this little tent, and then people could huddle around and chill if they want to and be more intimate, and they could, anyone could hop on a mic, anyone could freestyle, anyone could come and share their, there's going to be a cakey zone, a kid zone, where there's going to be like, it's actually a whole mini festival just for the kids at this event. We have a bunch of like dedicated mothers that I've been in contact with on the island that they're like, literally, I was thinking about the vision. I was like, yo, we need to have a kid zone. We need to have a place that parents could come, and if they want to, let their kids play here with other kids and have it be supervised and have it be like, you don't have to, not only are kids like welcome, oh, it's okay if you bring your kids. The whole thing is for the kids. They're going to be the people inheriting the earth that we're building. So it is more essential than anything that they are present during this time. This is historic time of humanity, this transition that we're going through. So the kids being here is like one of our biggest focuses. There's going to be a small festival for them, teaching them permaculture, teaching that we're trying to have a bee workshop with this woman who wants to bring people into beekeeping, and just a bunch of like little niche things to just like have fun with them. We're going to have painting and like fun things, and just, but for the most part, letting them just play, just having that stuff if they want to do it, but just letting them be in a safe environment with the most high vibrational beings ever. And so yeah, the integration to allow people to have their own experience is a big focus, because we don't just want to bring everyone to school and you watch this for this time, you watch this performer for this time, just have all of it available. And then wherever people are resonated towards is their medicine at that time. It's going to be Reiki, massages, tarot readings, all types of different things to just for 4 days, just wherever you feel called type of thing. So I'm glad that you mentioned that about integration and just allowing people to have their own experience, because it's a big focus of ours. And we definitely feel like that's one of the biggest benefits towards giant festivals, is when you have free will, man. Like, you can go and do whatever you want, and then like your medicine will be there in your capacity, and your body will bring you to it.
Mm-hmm. Ashay, that's beautiful. I love that integration of for the children. And we did our last event and we only allowed kids that were 8 and up, just because we were still growing and mm-hmm. didn't feel like there's a pool there, and we didn't feel like we had this supervision set up to be fully accountable for that. But it's definitely something I want to do going forward. So what you're describing sounds like a great way to not only integrate them, but create an experience for them to thrive. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for receiving.
Yeah, so switching gears, mm-hmm. what has been your favorite hip-hop release of the year?
Oh, interesting. Haven't been tuning in too much, but truly to the new scene. But let's see. Didn't Nas release an album a few months ago?
He did, King's Disease 2.
Yeah, that was hitting. Yeah, that was hitting. I remember that.
That's fire. It is fire. He also had a masterclass that came out where he like breaks down his process and the history of hip hop through his eyes. And it was dope. And he's in the masterclass with Hit Boy, who produced King's Disease 1 and 2. And it shows them in their process. It's pretty fire.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I'm going to have to go with that then, because I remember bumping that, like bringing me right back to just bumping as a kid, freaking hip hop, boom bap, classics. It just brought me right back to that. You know, Nas is legendary. Is the spirit, the symbol that he is for hip hop alone, brings a certain prestige whenever his song starts and stuff like that. But I'm going to check out that masterclass. I didn't even know about that. That sounds potent.
Oh, yeah. It was fire.
Yo, I'm going to bounce that to you, bro.
Yeah. So mine, favorite hip hop album of the year, definitely Donda, because as far as art goes, honestly, I didn't really enjoy any of Nas's albums until King's Disease 1 and 2. I just never really connected with his style. Mm-hmm. And his style to me is, it's more, he's like a lyricist. So it's more cerebral, right? It's more in your head and playing with that and being clever and wordplay and that type of thing. And I appreciate that, but I'm much more resonant with people that have a more like embodied expression.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tupac or Biggie, even Andre 3000 is also a crazy lyricist, but he's also very like eccentric and embodied. And Kanye, I feel like, is the one who's doing that now. And it's the storytelling. Like, he's telling his life story through albums. And this is a totally different sequence in his journey. I feel like the path to evolution, a lot of people think of as left to right, higher expression, like on a chart. But I think it's much more cyclical and like a spiral staircase. So you go through different levels of ascension, right? Like on the spiral staircase, and half of that journey is in the light, and then the other half is in the dark, and then you get back to the same point, but you're at a different octave if you've grown. So then you cross back over into the light, and you continue that cycle through the light and dark. And I feel like he has been the personification of that. And in numerology, there's only 9 numbers. Like, each third is its mini completion, and then 9 is the completion of one cycle. So College Dropout was his first album. Jesus Is King was his 9th album, and Donda is his 10th album. So it's like the first album of that next octave. Mm-hmm. And he goes through his soul story, which, if you think about, is the craziest story of any hip hop person. Think about the car crash and breaking his jaw and that, being the Blueprint producer, but then getting the opportunity to rap with Jay-Z, and then the Taylor Swift stuff that happened where he got canceled before canceling was even really a thing, and the George Bush doesn't care about black people on live TV, and his mom dying, and he just always has switched up the game and influenced culture. And this album specifically feels like it was made for black people and black men specifically. So he went in enough. You here with me, brother?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you exactly what I'm looking up after you're done.
Okay.
There's another album that I wanted to hit, and I wanted to get the name of it.
Yeah. So he took the route that I just mentioned through the Matrix to get to where he is at. So people see that, and so did Jay-Z, right? But in that, they went and got a certain amount of resources in order to create reality that they're creating now. Because he's on some other shit, and so is Jay-Z. And Jay-Z was getting all this money, which maybe wasn't always in the most integrity highest of ways, but then he would also buy out the Roots contract so that they could make the music that they make without having to hit certain single numbers in order to make their expression. So I feel like Kanye birthed Jay-Z's possibility, or other way around, Jay-Z birthed Kanye's possibility. Kanye made it possible for Drake, Chance, Lupe, all those people. And now culturally, a completely different expression of what it means to be a male and a black male is allowed. That's why that album is my favorite, because it's like a whole cultural thing.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Yeah, I definitely have always expressed appreciation for Kanye's art and his rawness and his authenticity, his transparency. And I think this is one album I never went too deep into Kanye, just because, quite frankly, most mainstream music I just don't normally find myself listening to, period. But when I have heard some of his stuff, he had this one album that I'm pretty sure it was like a white cover. And I think he was talking about being schizophrenic or something along those lines, or bipolar, or multiple personalities or something. He was like truly expressing. He's like, man, I'm not crazy. This is my superpower.
Yeah.
And he was being himself and very just flamboyant about it. But like, seriously, like profound truth. And like what he inspired a lot of people through that, I'm really honored, because anyone who understands mental illness knows that it's really a mental gift, and it's a sensitivity to something more high in frequency than what most people are attuned to seeing. And that could be overwhelming for a lot of people in a society and culture where they don't show you the spiritual aspect of things. And then they're like, oh no, you're just crazy. Yep, you got problems. Here's some drugs to take to fix yourself. And then Kanye coming with that perspective of, no,
This is me. This is a gift. Once you learn how to master it, I am a freaking superhero. And that type of spin on mental illness as a whole is, that's how I see it. Like, for real, I see it exact. When he said that, I was like, yo, my brother, like you saying it to the, you're using your platform in a good way in that sense. And
that's how you access your godliness, is just full acceptance of the totality of what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Not hiding any of it and feeling good about all of it. Be like, this is part of me too.
Ashe. Mm-hmm. Being able to love every part of yourself. And yo, I do have to give a shout out to a brother who just left his body this year. Brother Gift of Gab, his album dropped like last month, called Finding Inspiration Somehow. And Finding Inspiration Somehow by Gift of Gab is, I was honestly really hit when I heard that he left his body, because I was trying to work with him. He was like in his 40s and stuff like that. I didn't know how much more albums he was going to put out, but I was like, this is one of the G's I need to collaborate with. We collaborate in spirit now, you know what I'm saying? He works through my music because I was influenced by him. His album, his first album, Fourth Dimensional Rocket Ships by Gift of Gab, one of the best rap albums I have personally ever freaking heard in my entire life. It is incredible. Have you ever heard of Gift of Gab by chance?
I haven't.
Yo, I definitely recommend. Just give him a peep. His lyricism is on point. His message is on point. His spirit is on point. The intention is just pure and heart-centered. He's very passionate, very like aggressively talented. It's just over, like, Gift of Gab basically means what that sentence means is, I have the gift of being able to articulate very clearly and very fast and stuff like that. So he's his lyricism is just, I'm not even gonna try to mimic it. It's beautiful.
And I'll definitely check it out. Thank you for that recommendation. For sure. I love hearing about new art, especially that's on the fringe or underground or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I can tell from your spirit that you also are very interested about the impact that you'll make and the legacy you will leave. So that's why I study things that are very mainstream, because I want to know, how do you speak to everyone? How do you shift culture, whether it's with music or with film or whatever? Because of course we want to keep the authenticity and the vibrancy, because a lot of mainstream culture is, there's no life force. It's very antiseptic. And even intentionally harmful with some of the things that are being communicated. But you also want to be able to communicate to everybody. Like, you want people to receive the message and to be impacted by it. And I think maybe the most powerful examples of people that were able to cross over and maintain, maybe just the one I'm thinking of, is like Bob Marley. I feel like Lauryn Hill definitely did it, and that's one of the best albums of all time, if not the best one, but she made one. And Bob Marley made 10 or however many albums exactly the way that he wanted to. So yeah, that's the dichotomy of going wide, but also having a very specific intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it as scalability is the biggest thing. Like, the one thing that I've seen to provide more fruitful manifestations in my life than anything else is consistency. And for me to be able to understand how, because quite frankly, I just see it as like, with the path of creating what it is that you're creating, and naturally, like, the way I personally see it is, the way that my legacy is being put together naturally is just, music is how I connect with everybody. That's how I've gotten to where I am. That's how everything, the core of what I do and am, is my music. And I'm just here to keep creating this stuff. I'm not here to worry about how people are going to hear it. I'm not here to make sure that it gets in front of people. I know it's going to outlive me well beyond. I'm just here to create the thing. And that's my highest purpose. And I've seen me having that as my intention being what brings in the abundance. Not focusing on it brings it to me, as my personal, what I'm not recommending anyone to act in that way. That's simply how I've rolled.
Right.
And in addition to the music, doing the gatherings is what the music eventually brought me towards. Cause I was like, going and performing, people were inviting me at all these shows, and I was like, this is nice, but if that artist wasn't out here enslaving people's consciousness with this programming, this would be a nicer event. Enough years of that got to the point of, sheesh, I need to be the one to do it at this point, because if anyone else sees it, they're not doing anything about it. So then putting all the gatherings together, you create your own platform. I could be the headliner of my own show that I put together. You know what I mean? And then just I'll have like hundreds of people there. And then those hundreds of people will tell their friends, and then there'll be thousands of people at the next one. And then it just scales. It's all about scalability. How you use consistency. Why are you even doing something? Do you want fame? Do you want your name to be known? Or do you want to heal? And you want other people to heal and feel vibrant. And that's that pure energy. That's how Bob Marley got all his albums the exact way he wanted. He wasn't thinking about that shit. He just knew his purpose and he did it. And then the world responded with his vibration. So I see it as like the core intention of why am I doing something? When that's in alignment, when my thoughts, when my emotions, and when my actions are in alignment with the divine harmony of the universe is going to take care of all those fun things. I'm not going to have to sit here and understand all these high extreme marketing techniques and how to do all the statistics. I'm dipping those waters because I'm passionate about what I do and I do want to get it to people. But at the end of the day, we're here to just be the conduits. We're here to create what we create, and the universe is going to take care of the rest. And my whole life is intention and faith. With this gathering and stuff, this is my first one putting together in Hawaii, bigger scale gathering, just all these types of things that these unknowns would hinder many people. But just like knowing I am doing this gathering on this date because God has literally guided me and asked me to do it, has put the resources, the people, the connections, and the capabilities within my grasp and in my face to organize all of it, put the pieces together, and allow this manifestation to unfold. I know that I'm doing this for the benefit of myself, for the benefit of the land, for the benefit of the community, and for the benefit of the fucking universe, because it's pure and it's coming from my heart. So that being said, I have the intention that is pure, and then I'm going to have faith in that intention, and then the rest is taken care of. When we work with the simple laws of the universe, things are a lot more simple than I feel like our minds try to make them out to be and stuff. The embodiment of that is where it really comes into. It's easy to say these things, but then why can't everyone just do it? Because right now, I could be channeling all this stuff. And then at the end of the day, y'all don't really know how much I embody it. I know how much I embody it. When the closed doors, when there's no cameras on me, when there's no one around me, how do I act in my integrity? How do I maintain my self-love? How do I continue to flow source through me and stuff like that? That's all of our individual journey. When we take that into seriousness, that's how it becomes foolproof. That's how, whether we get record labels, whether we get in front of millions of people, that's how it stays integral, is when all behind closed doors, you hold yourself accountable. You're completely responsible and responsible for your internal world, for your health and well-being. And you take that as precedence and priority. Like, all right, behind closed, I don't need to prove anything to people. I don't need to show them anything. That's the embodiment. That's where you take the channeling and the being a conduit and like actually becoming the frequency you're channeling. That's where I'm personally in the process of. I'm not going to say I'm embodied. I'm going to say I'm constantly embodying.
Thank you, brother. Okay. Yeah. I hear your perspective and I hear your passion, and I'm really grateful that you're sharing it with such vigor. And I think now people have a good idea of where you're coming from and what you're creating. Feels like a good time to just let some of that marinate and let people interact with it how they will. So if you want to give the website one more time before we wrap up.
Yeah, for sure. There's sourcesanctum.com, sourcesanctum.com. It's easy to spell, Source Sanctum. And go to the gatherings page. You'll hit Pono Fest and all the information will be neatly organized there. I'm pretty sure by the time I get off this podcast, I'm going to look at my brother who's been working on it, and it's probably going to be already done or something like that.
Right on, bro. Thank you so much for doing the work that you're doing and caring so much about everyone.
Yeah. At the end of the day, humanity has been seeing things from a certain vantage point for thousands of years. And these perspectives don't serve us. And I feel as if when the new perspectives come through me, they sometimes face a good amount of resistance from the receptivity of those who are ingrained in those belief systems. And I feel very passionate about me being the deliverer of this information. I'm not here to be liked. I'm not here to be loved. I'm not here to be respected. I'm here to be a conduit of truth and love and inspiration and heal myself. And then everything else is taken care of. Everything else, I know that I'm in my alignment. I know that I'm literally acting for the betterment of everyone and everything. And it's just my role to play my role. I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to say what I feel is trying to come through my lips. And a lot of perspectives of how we look at things being shifted slightly will lead to the biggest changes we could ever imagine. And the smallest things in perspective are all the difference. It doesn't matter about the actions. It doesn't matter about what the outcome is. The intentions, the foundations, and why we're doing things, our perspectives about what we're doing is what's going to change the world, not the actions. Everything is rooted in that. So I feel like when I see those perspectives that are asking for however to be articulated that Source wants me to, I'm just here to knock it out. So I'm really appreciative for you providing me the platform to do just that, and for you being receptive to just that, and for you doing just that yourself by you expressing your perspectives that are of high consciousness, and you illuminating your wholeness, quite frankly, your wholeness and your inner peace onto those around you and everything that you create, everything that you do. It's just an honor to be on earth with so many beautiful pillars of light, and it's a beautiful time.
Ashe, brother, thanks for coming on. Check out Pleiades on Instagram. Check out Source Sanctum to find out more about his info. And we'll see you next time, fam. We out.
Ashe, may Source be with you.
Alright fam, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Dharma Glow. We're here to inspire you and to elevate your consciousness so that you can live a life that leaves a legacy of love. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, sign up for the email list at dharmaglow.com, and stay connected. Spread the word, because what we're doing here is essential to the formation of New Earth. As long as we stay connected, we can't lose. Much love. This is Dijon. I'm out.